focus more on interactive, real-time audio visual kind of stuff. In any case,
he's supposed to be
for about a year, a little under a year, I've been the co-organizer of a local chapter of this community organization called Dorkfi, which I like the name of that, but it's an international, I should say international organization. There's chapters in different cities. And the only connector between these chapters is the tagline, people doing interesting things. So that could mean basically anything. But a lot of times there's a focus on people going some sort of experimental robots, fun robots that do things. One of our people did what's called a drawbot, which you can plug in some sort of vector thing and it'll actually make a pretty nice drawing. So lots of different things, electrical engineers, and there is a lot of times a heavy art side too, heavy like art tech side. We have a thing once a month where we present a lot of works in progress. So most of the time, it's things that are just starting out, and we use the place as a forum to get people's ideas, right? So, Lenoa Tomori, is that Tomori? That's right. Great. He's one of our door fodders, frequent door fodders. He also works at they're going to present a work in progress that is pretty cool, and I'll have them introduce his colleagues.
So we're just going to give out names and then we'll introduce ourselves properly after we be finished. My name's Maiwa.
Josiah.
Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for giving us your time today. As Jordan was saying, my name is Myowa, and I guess my background in music, it came through software, really, because it gave me a way. I didn't have a lot of hardware, I didn't have a lot of money, so software gave me an introduction to music. I played in bands when I was younger, and I played guitar, but as a writer, software really made a difference for me, and I started using FL Studio, and then Ableton was what really made things make sense for me. And I guess that's kind of my musical history. And Nako can talk a bit more about his musical history.
I've always had a background in playing music, performing it, but had absolutely no interest in the software side of things. I actually started as a respected computer information technology student here, but became really disinterested in the computer side of things. But I play drums, it's my primary instrument, so I'm actually the newcomer to this project. Myola was talking to me about designing an interface for a computer. We could use sensors to trigger different sounds of things, and I told him I was interested in keeping me updated. And then about last weekend, he asked me if I wanted to be involved in being a percussionist or something. And I came in expecting just to hit some pads and trigger some sounds. And that's when I met Frank and got a totally different perspective on what we would be doing here.
Frank is the only bona fide musician amongst us. Do you want to tell me a bit more about your history, your background?
All right. I have a bachelor's in composition from what is now Jacobs School, and later a doctorate in philosophy from IU. Following that, I got into the IT field because that was, at that point in time, the universal plan B. So now I work at the School of Medicine and do design data systems. This piece is called Aural Chaos Generator 2, which simply means it's a complicated way of making noise. However, it is in fact the most recent of my efforts in my long-term, decades-long project of stopping time. I can't report success. however, I think that given Maya's organizations and skill as a solderer, and Josiah's performing and improvisational abilities, and Jordan's willingness to turn up the volume, we may have heard time falter at least a couple of times over the course of the last half hour.
So I guess we should, you probably don't care that much about who we are. You want to, perhaps you're interested in what we're doing. And Josiah and I can talk about the hardware side of things, but I think Frank's probably best to speak about what's actually being triggered. So what we have here is we have a series of piezoelectric sensors. There's one on the board here, and there's a bunch which are being controlled by pads at his feet. And we just have sensors on corkboard, and we can trigger samples that way just by sending serial data through the USB port. And we're using the Arduino to translate everything. And I have backups of everything, so I can kind of pass around to you. I'll show you what our basic setup looks like. Give me 1 second. So these, our sensors are exactly what you'd see on the drum machine or a drum pad, with just little light contact place, and just turns voltage into something that can be read. So we have a bunch of these wired up. I don't know if we try to hide it, but there's 71 right under here. And we still live, so to speak?
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
So, so initially, the reason that I built something like this is because I wanted a way, an interesting way to play MIDI, because that's how I use it. I use it to play drums in GarageBand or Ableton. But, do you want to tell them a little bit more about what you're doing here with your feet?
Well, I think the main reason the presentation ended up being what it is because of the limitations of wires, because the sensors are connected to the speaker wire. So if we were brainstorming about ways to trigger creatively, you know, what to put the sensors on, we put it on things that we could hit, and it came down to what seemed best was having the triggers on the floor, so that the wires are kind of out of the way and be triggering them with my foot. And then whatever's going on up here, really just in this direction, just kind of looking like you're doing something. But I think the concept of placing the sensors in just about anything really is something that you could go a lot of places with. He even talked about household objects, and you're triggering sound samples by doing things like cooking breakfast. You pick up the pan, you set it down. So there's just lots of things you could put the sensor in. But really what's happening is, and I'm just moving things around up here, triggering the sensors, and then triggering the sensors on the floor, trying to keep a connection between what I'm doing up here and what's happening down there. We put the sensors in cork board because it seems to kind of have a nice response. The sensors also kind of, they give you a range of sensitivity you can use. So that was nice.
And we can also talk about how we set some of the parameters. And what are your backgrounds? Because we don't know anything about you, but we've just spoken for like 20 minutes. Are you musicians?
We have a lot of musicians and teachers.
Musicians and teachers?
Yeah.
And just teach technology as well, or is it technology?
No, it's different. I think it's a lot of different. I teach guitar and music technology out of high school.
Okay. So, anyone else care to speak up?
I teach little kids how to sing.
Okay. That's fun. And, I mean, you could, trying to think of how you could have an application for music and singing.
They would love it. They would absolutely love the presentation.
It's a very low barrier for entry to play things. But what we're using to really make sense of what we're hitting the sensors is the Arduino. And could you pull up the IDE, the Arduino?
Sure. You had a question.
I can wait.
Sorry.
I was actually just going to ask. Speaking of that, like just the price point.
Oh, okay. Price point. You can build your own MIDI drum for $20 worth of materials. I think for like $16, you get four sensors and the hardware to plug it in. But you also need an Arduino board, and that's under $20. So for $40, you could build a very, very reasonable and very as elaborate as you want a MIDI controller. So if you didn't want to buy one of these keyboards and you just wanted something small to trigger beats to, when like if a guitar student wanted to produce music at home, you could build something like this for $40. So it's very, very cheap, and I have no programming experience, so it's the barrier to entry to start making things is very low. That's what the best part of technology is. And if you're only making music with software, you always run into a problem where you want to know how to perform. You don't want to just go up there and look like you're checking your email. So that's why everyone wants to, that's why controllers, I think, are really important, and finding ways to get sensory input to touch your software, so to speak.
So that's kind of like the hardware interface side of things. And I think what you were actually hearing has a lot more to do with the program we were running. There's very little that we were doing on the front side of things, the presentation side, that was actually producing the sound, because that was more Frank's end.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that anything would be produced unless you did something.
That's true. But like, I think, you know, what Maya said was pretty key. Whenever you're using something like technology, you don't want to come up here and just look like you're checking your email. And when this was demonstrated to me, it was just we opened up the program, clicked some buttons, and just kind of sat back and let this thing run. And it was really amazing to listen to. And if you're presenting to someone, I think this is like what these sensors give you. And that interface gives you a lot of freedom to really make it an interactive experience. There's a whole lot of possibilities with just like six sensors, that you can make something completely a computer thing, really an interactive and I hope pleasant to watch presentation. Something a little more interesting.
And what Frank has pulled up here is the development environment, basically what talks to the Arduino. And I was meant to get Hugo and Arduino to look at, so excuse me for a second. Do you want to, I guess, maybe Frank, you program the Arduino a little bit, maybe you can talk some about it.
Well, this is the part that is interesting, because to me, in particular, there are a lot of fingers properties to be set. The one that is of interest to us is the one called pad mode. Every time one of the triggers, one of the sensors is triggered, it sends one of these those six numbers, those six codes, depending on which one.
And those are MIDI notes too. So like the one middle C60. So that's maybe like a flat. That's the thing until you write it over on this bar ridge, or the sending straight to the values.
And then depending on what happens on the other side, on the software side, depends on which one of those numbers is sent.
So what Frank hard coded each of these number values to pull a folder of samples. If you want to talk, do you want to show them the actual chaos.
Okay, so there are several, these represent folders in the file system, and each folder contains samples. These samples are in fact the samples that are called the Berkeley samples. They're free and very nice. So, given that, say, 52 up there, the sensor that's assigned 52 is sent, that's the one that creates the signal, then perhaps, say, this top folder on engines and buzzers is triggered. Now, what happens is this.
This is the kind of the back end of Frank's side of this.
So each time one of the sensors is triggered, set of the name of the sample. The I equals represents the number of times the samples are going to be repeated. The R indicates the number of repetitions, and the I indicates the distance, the distance in time between repetitions and samples. So on here we have that wine glass is what? That we move so rapidly. There, the interval is 5 seconds and 16 repetitions, and that one that we were following was the 8. Those are two of the properties here, the settings. One is the interval between playing of the sample. The second is the number of times the sample will be played, and the third is the number of samples that will be begun on the triggering of the sensor.
If you want to restart the debugger, I can just hit the one where we have a single sample and demonstrate it.
Okay. The maximum interval and maximum number of sounds that are triggered on one hit. And then, of course, all of these then within those parameters that randomly and the sounds that are the samples that are triggered also are set randomly.
So if I hit this pad here.
I need to pass it in for the right mic. So that's just a snare drum sample.
Yeah, I got an interval of 0 and 7. Going through a set number of repetitions. If I keep hitting that same one, it keeps reinitiating that one sound. The difference between that trigger and the other trigger, that trigger is triggering one sound file. So it's redoing that same sound file. Whereas the other triggers are triggering entire folders of sound files. And they're drawing maybe 20 sound files for one hit. Like I hit it one time and it's randomly 20 files from bells and whistles and starts playing the bells and whistles at certain intervals for a certain number of repetitions. So the wine glass sound you heard, the eerie sound is going to play every 10 seconds 15 times. And that's just going to keep going through in the background. And then at the same time you have 3 or 4 other bells and whistles that are playing maybe at intervals of 3 seconds, 4 seconds for various repetitions. And as you play with those parameters, setting them higher and lower, that really changes the feel of the sound. When we had really long intervals and higher repetitions, it was very slow. Kind of how you heard it at the end. Very slow. And then you hear like a bell, like here, and then like a bang over here. Whereas if we set those kind of low, it's very chaotic. You have lots of sounds going very quickly, changing very quickly. And then also, how many times you're triggering each sound. So you can be flooding it with just like a lot of different samples really quick, and they're all going at different intervals of repetition. And then you kind of wait for that to slow down a little bit, and some of your samples to kind of fall out of the loop, and then bring more in. So that was really interesting to me when he first demonstrated it, how playing with the parameters really changed the feel of the overall sound.
And I think maybe we can talk more about the application of something like this, because right now we're just making noise, which is all right. But I mean, for example, if you were teaching some students how to sing and wanted to record their voices, rather than having to sit next to a computer, you could put each of these sensors in a book or something. So you could trigger your software, just sending MIDI. So you could have one that's like a record, one that's a play. Maybe rewind, so you can control either recording, or if you have a piece of music you want to practice, you can use this as your interface, and that's all you need is sensors and a little bit of time to spend to assign what you're going to trigger. And what about the application of the software to general use? Because I talked about the hardware, how you could use it.
Well, I'm not sure what your question
is. Oh, well, I was talking about how we could apply this hardware that we built to more of what you guys are doing. So slowing down a piece of music so a student can play it. You don't have to go to a computer or a CD player. You can do that with your feet if you want it. So I was saying, are there general applications for the Aural Chaos?
Well, obviously the kinds of samples that you use is not limited. These could be musical sounds. They could be speech.
Yeah, you could really use it for anything.
And then playing with the parameters gives you a lot of freedom in how you want things to trigger.
Were you adjusting the? Seems like you were adjusting the some of the parameters of why you're performing. Is that
no?
No.
We had the parameters set and then we performed.
Yeah. That's an enhancement.
In the works.
Be able to adjust the parameters by.
Yes.
But I didn't know if because we Drew and I talked about using something like Max, which is just a program where it's much more improvisational because you can change things on the fly. You can assign knobs to a MIDI, so you can have much more control about the kind of noise you're creating. And I think Michael actually uses, do you use Max?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to talk about that.
Okay. So,
if I can get it working.
Yeah. Were you reading music or just fool around?
It's misdirection. Yeah. We figured we should try to look legitimate for musicians. So that's why. we
said another topic.
It's actually a magazine that we found in the room.
Sworn. We decided to call our piece the, what was the word? The audio?
Adagio
of the Stones.
Why the choice of the Stones? Because of the weight, or just again misdirection?
Because they were in my bait.
We really had a lot of ideas we were playing with.
Frank killed all of them. We were gonna come here and like put a sense on the piano, one of a guitar, and one of a violin, and then start by just hitting on instruments.
And not really playing the instruments, but triggering.
Yeah.
And seeming like miming when you're playing the instruments and creating them. And Frank said, very John Cage-esque.
Oh, he also said it was very cutesy. He said he's very sound musician.
I think what really developed this idea was the limitation we have with the wires. And that's something like as the interface improved, you'd be able to do a lot more. But we wanted something where we could place the wires in an inconspicuous way and then have freedom of movement. Whereas if we had placed sensor on the rocks, and lifting the rocks and banging it to trigger the sensors, then you have wires and rocks.
And why the cork board too?
Well, we didn't want to scratch the
table. But also it's actually very, it's pretty responsive because other pads I've used, like, first time I made one, was like put on Tupperware. And that's like a really hard plastic. So the response, I have very drum as well.
I'm not a percussionist, I'm a drummer.
Oh, you're a drummer?
Yeah, I don't play anything melodic, it's all hitting stuff.
Yeah.
I liked the cork board the best, because a couple nights ago we were actually using it as an actual drum set. We set up our sensors to trigger one sound file, and we had to play with the sensitivity and the strike to get kind of an organic feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had chopsticks with electrical tape on the end of them. And the cork board gave, I felt, like the best response.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. I had a piece of cork board on the floor that I was doing as my bass drum. And then I had a hi-hat and a snare. And we were just drumming on this table. And that was a lot of fun.
But I mean, what would you guys put a sense from? What would you like to play a sense from?
Well, I was just thinking I might put one underneath my front doormat so if somebody walked onto the porch, I'd know there was somebody on my front porch.
Yeah, that's...
There you go.
Yeah, you could even have it more sophisticated than sound. You could have it... You could get the Arduino to send you a text message.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to just be music. That's what's so great about these microcontrollers.
Hey, since you were trying to go to the bathroom, trigger the toilet seat. You freak people out when it's around sound system. They sit down. It's like dun-dun-dun.
Exactly.
I would like that. You go into the bathroom and all of a sudden the chaos generator starts.
There you go. Lights are flashing. Get a MIDI light controller in there.
Minimize your stay.
Does anyone have any other questions? Otherwise, I'd like you guys to just come up and hit some stuff and play it.
Could you mix this with lights, like for your show? Like, could you trigger some of the same events with light?
Oh yeah, you could trigger anything.
You've been talking about doing something. You were all talking about doing something similar with photos too.
But yeah, Frank already has a program that does something similar. So
yeah.
You want to talk about it?
Well, it essentially is very similar. It displays a random photograph of a random size in a random place on the screen. What it doesn't do is deal with the repetition aspect, which is probably more difficult problem dealing with music samples. And then there's the issue of how to connect music samples with photographs and whether that should be something that's said or something that should be done on a random basis. But that could be a lot of fun.
I really like the idea of lights.
It could be like, I mean, like, cutting edge programming for like LED lights. Mm-hmm. So you could actually have a really cool stage. Yeah, it's definitely possible. I've seen people do like Christmas stuff.
Yeah, we've worked on this stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And actually, the program that Miles was just talking about, that Mike and I will talk about, Max, to convert DMX to basically MIDI. And then you're good to go.
Yeah, any other questions, or do you guys want to just come up and get some stuff? Take some samples.
Well, not a question, really, just so folks do know about, you know, lights or pictures and whatnot. CellDNA is a VJing software. I believe you can get the light version for free, and you could trigger any MIDI controller, and if you had the MIDI in, you could use it as general MIDI device, and you could use these sensors to trigger video displays, because it's set up like a DJing mixer, and you choose what videos you want and how you want to mix them, and it's got effects you could add to them and everything.
Yeah.
It's a really nice piece of software, and with something like this, it would be very inexpensive for like a grade school to have pictures of the students. You could show them how to trigger their pictures, so when they're singing, they trigger their picture, and then they could add effects to it, and then it could just be really interactive and fun, and you know, and really taking that technology and making it available for kids of all ages, if you will, and to do a lot of really neat stuff. So if you're interested in like something like that, it's just celldna.com. Real neat stuff. I think Livid is something associated with.
And this is definitely like a weekend project. You know,
like Cell.
Yeah, I was just going to ask on the programming side of things, like if you were going to try and program like Portamentos or... like going, like sliding from one note into another, or or like having the sound stop once it's re-triggered rather than it bleeding or re-triggering over one another,
sure.
You know, that type of sort of MIDI mapping, or that's all going to be on the programming end, then, right, Frank?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay, so that's just a matter of how you want the software to interact then with your program, or to become your program.
I think where you see sets up with parameters, you can see where he does up to repetitions and does up to kinds of that stuff.
I mean, what you're suggesting is a whole lot more sophisticated than what's going on.
Yeah, I would just say this.
Okay.
But it's certainly, you know, it's worth investigating.
Well, I think in terms of, like, you know, EWIs or EVIs, like electronic wind instruments, you know, that with what they have to go through as far as their MIDI programming, I just wondered like how that could be used in this way. But, yeah, I don't know.
You mean if you wanted to build your own wind controller?
No, not necessarily. No, I'm really thinking more of like what current wind controllers already do, and taking that style of utilization and bringing it into this arena. Mm-hmm. You know, just to see, like, how would it be possible to morph a breaking glass into a gunshot, and what would that sound like if you could get one to slide into the other?
Right.
You know?
But you could use that, like if you use that in Ableton, you had the samples loaded in Ableton, and you used that, the Arduino and the sensors as a general MIDI device, and assign Ableton to look at that general MIDI device, you could just set the pads up, and without any of this back-end programming, use it to trigger Portamento between two samples.
Oh, you could.
Yeah, I mean, because if I'm looking at this correctly, the one you have has got a MIDI in on it, correct?
And
this, you have that.
Yeah.
I don't have it built on this one, but yeah, you could definitely have a sensor.
And then it would just become a general MIDI device.
Completely.
Because all it is it's sending a MIDI signal or trigger to whatever you're going to, and then the software would then run how it's controlled. So you just need that tap. It's just like the sensor that's underneath the piano key here.
Sure.
It would be the similar concept.
Exactly the same. These are $2 a piece, so they're velocity sensitive.
Yeah. You can build a sensor suit. People have done that. Build sensor suits with those and do the same thing.
So, I mean, I don't know how much is that time?
Just about, like that.
But yeah, you could make, I don't know how much an electronic drum kit runs cost, but I mean, like, it's
1,200.
Yeah, I think it's
3,000.
Yeah, 3,000 for the Roland, 1,200 for the DT Express,
I have a Roland V-set, and it's 3,000.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to a kid at home, and you just want to play Logic drums, or you want to just want to be able to quantize your drumming. Yeah, $2 a piece of pork,
one of these, and it's a lot cheaper than $3,000.
Yeah, you could actually mount it. If you took the drum head, sensor, and right. foam, and sandwiched it, you could actually build a frameless drum set and trigger anything in any DAW or soft synth.
For sure. So, I mean, we've got a little bit of time. Do you guys want to play it while we're breaking down?
I lost some of the sensors on the tour, I think. I kept trying to trigger one of the sounds and nothing was happening, so I was like, well, let's just slow this down a little.
So thanks again, guys, for presenting.
Oh, great.
A little bit.
Yeah, because you should. Cause I remember your performance at the Gregory recital.
Right.
You did a lot of trigger, which was awesome.
Thanks.
If you start checking out some Ableton Live, man, there's insane stuff. There's actually, I forget the name of. Chris Mitchell?
How are you doing?
I don't know. It's a gentleman's name. He makes electronic controllers.
Okay.
MIDI controllers. And he's got a new one that is a foot. It's a 12 note scale foot controller.
Okay.
Well, 12 notes. You can put 12 different notes on it. It's got different channel assignments and everything like that. And there's all these like different interactive controls that are really cool. And with what you do through Ableton with that, I mean, and if you, because you use Cell DNA in conjunction with Ableton, so you could actually be triggering visual and light displays through Ableton, through Cell DNA, and get it all working together with the one controller.
Sure.
Cool. So I got like an APC-40, it's all hand triggers, but still the concept's all there. You could just
Yeah, I'll probably have a guitar or a bass in my hands or something.
Yeah. So that's why you need like a foot or a, I mean, you can trigger it anyways, like even with something like that, you could just tap a foot or hit an elbow or do whatever you want.
Sure.
Yeah, that I really wasn't exactly sure what you were talking about. It sounded
really did you get, you understood what I was talking about now?
I think so.
Yeah. I just, you know, I mean, like glissandos or, you know, any sort of articulations, which were, of course, initially hard to do, you know, at the early days of MIDI, which they've kind of figured out now. And then trying to think, oh, how would you do that through, let's, you know, saying pitchless is incorrect because those have pitches, but it's something that's not, you know, strictly monophonic. How could you morph a sound or bend or pitch a sound into another sound when, you know, its original source content isn't, you know, a single pitch, you know. So that's why I was like, I wonder what would happen? What would that sound like? Almost like slowing down a record player or speeding it up and hearing the sound change, but even into another, you know, tone would be interesting. So that's what I meant.
It would certainly be interesting to apply something this program. I doubt if I have the kind of knowledge that we need to generate such things.
Mm-hmm.
No, I only understand it enough to do it, not to program it.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, if I'm just thinking about, you know, pitch bending, you know, from here to pitching up a half step, you know, how am I going to make this, like I say, the wine glass and this the gunshot and bend from one into the other? Mm-hmm. You know, we're on an iwi, or, you know, even people that do that on a saxophone, you know, just manipulate that with their embouchure. But So I don't know.
That would have been
interesting.
To,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely was.
Well,
thanks for your time.
It's good to meet you. I guess we really didn't project.
Well, we were in the elevator together.
Yes.
That's where everybody meets. So I'm Scott DeZera.
Scott.
Nice to meet you.
Mozilla, it will actually show up in your Mozilla password.
I know.
That all you have to do is right click whatever you need to do.
So you're watching. You're a programmer?
No. No, I'm a musician.
Okay.
Mostly.
Well, you're running here just.
Oh, this just the chorus here right now.
Yeah. What do you play?
Mostly electric bass, but I also play jazz guitar and upright bass as well.
Nice.
So, yeah, it pays the bills.
What are you looking to get out of a conference like this?
Well, I'm in the MSMT program here, so this was just kind of an elective.
Okay.
It was just kind of filling out the schedule, so I graduate in May.
That's good. Right?
But I didn't know what to expect, you know. There's a guy that I yeah I did.
That's funny. We didn't even think of that.
Oh well, if you guys want a copy, I mean I only did it to 128 though, but
128
MP3 128. Yeah.
Oh whatever. That's
just because I've just been doing speech, you know, which is even high for speech, but
for sure. Sorry, I gotta finish.
That's fine. No, it's cool. I guess I should have asked first if that was okay.
No, our label is going
to
be annoying.
It's always better to ask for forgiveness than...
That's right.
Oh, no.
For forgiveness than ask for permission.
You're right.
I know, that's exactly what I was going to say.
So, that's hard.
Guess the circuit to do...